Case number 12-1095 et al. Elaine Jo Middleman, Petitioner versus Postal Regulatory Commission. Ms. Middleman for the petitioners, Ms. Wright for the respondent.
May it please the Court, Elaine Middleman for the petitioners. Good morning, Your Honors. This case involves three different orders, review of three different orders from the Postal Regulatory Commission. And I guess the first question is whether this Court can review the orders of the Postal Regulatory Commission. And in my experience as an appellate attorney, I think it's clear that the statute plainly provides that a final order of the Postal Regulatory Commission can be reviewed by this Court, and that's why I filed the petitions for review.
You're talking about 3663.
3663.
Right? So the first half of that statute provides us with jurisdiction, right?
Correct.
So the question is there a cause of action? And the problem for you is Section 404, which says the provisions of Section of Chapter 7 of Title 5, which is the Administrative Procedure Act, and the only ground of cause of action we've raised, shall not apply to any review carried out by the Commission under this paragraph. And the paragraph refers to the Commission's review of closing and consolidating post offices. So what do we do about this section, that sentence?
Well, that obviously is an issue here.
I'd say it's the issue here, at least for the first part of the
correct. First of all, to me, that is the language that is confusing at best. I'm not sure exactly what that means. And I believe that the way that's written, it actually applies to the procedures in front of the commission because I think it's talking about whether there's a contested, you don't have to have a contested hearing.
I'm sorry. Please.
Right, I realize that, but I the way it's written is so.
We're both say that's 556 and 557.
I understand
Chapter 7 of Title 5.
I fully understand.
We may not have to have this argument at all because we're all thinking without even having to say it.
I was tempted to say this is another example of a statute that's written that really isn't written very clearly.
What, help me as to why this isn't clear. So it says the provisions of, leave out 556 and 557, Chapter 7 of Title 5 shall not apply. Chapter 7 is entitled Judicial Review. It is not entitled Review in the Agency or anything else. That's covered under 556 and 557. But Chapter 7 is only about judicial review. And most important, Section 702 is the right of review, which is what provides it, normally would provide you with a cause of action.
Right.
So this is basically saying that the provisions of Chapter 7, which include your only right of action here, shall not apply. Why is that complicated or unclear?
Well, again, I when it says applied in your review, to me, I think it's referring to review in the commission. It doesn't say.
But how could Chapter 7 apply to review in the commission? This is a statute. This is, as I said, a chapter entitled Judicial Review, and it's all about review in the courts.
I understand that. I think that, I mean, I wasn't there when they wrote it. I think it refers...
None of us were.
I think it's referring... I mean, I'm guessing it's referring to the fact that this procedure, that, since there's not an adversarial procedure, you would not then be going to the district court. Now, I'd like to add this court's decision, Northern Air Cargo versus United States Postal Service. Judge Silberman wrote that the Administrative Procedure Act... Let me see if I can take my last one. Let's see. At page 860, he says, as we have observed, the Postal Service is exempt from APA review, but that only means essentially procedural restraints placed on agencies by that statute. Then he refers to the fact, long before the passage of the APA, the Supreme Court held in a seminal case of SEC versus Chenery that agency action can be upheld on the basis of contemporaneous justification by the agency itself. So I think there still is the presumption of appellate review, even if it's not pursuant to the APA, because as this case says, APA is a procedural restraint.
But if it's not, this all what you've argued is that review is available under 3663.
Right.
And then 3663 refers...
I'm saying is that is a very plainly written sentence, and that covers the fact that any final order of the commission is reviewable. Then I don't know of any other agency that you can't review in the D.C. Circuit or District Court, whatever the review happens to be. I don't see that the way this statute is written, it doesn't say in so many words, these are final orders that cannot be reviewed by a court. So they meant that, that's what they would have said, and they definitely did not say that.
Well, the question is, 3663 provides generally for judicial review. But this provision, 404D5, deals specifically with orders concerning closures and consolidations.
That's correct.
And it appears, based on the text that the Chief Judge is focusing on, to take out of the field of vision judicial review for that specific category of orders.
Well, again, I understand that, but I don't think that's what they meant to say, because maybe that never occurred to them to talk about judicial review.
Well, can I say this question?
Because the other statute was passed later, the 3663, and it, like as I said, the legislative history and the language of it says that any order doesn't say any order except for the orders about closings. It doesn't say that. So,
well, let me ask you this: the language of 404D5 says Chapter 7 of Title 5 shall not apply to any review carried out by the Commission. Did you ever make the argument that what the commission did here wasn't review at all because it concluded that it didn't have authority? Did that issue ever come up?
You mean at the commission?
Yeah.
Well, if I could just give a little background, the way I got involved in this was that my own post office was closed. And so when I first, I knew nothing about this part of the law at all. When I very first started reading the material, the other orders of, like, Chairman Goldway would say things like, the record is not clear, the record from the Postal Service that they were reviewing, we really wish the record were clear. And it just struck me immediately, well, why isn't the record clear and there is no review? And so I called over there and I said, can you review these in court? Because my experience as an attorney, every judge that I've ever heard of wants to have a clear record. And they said no one had ever asked them that question before. So I don't think it ever occurred to them whether or not judicial review was available. So it wasn't until I went through the process and then I filed the petition in this court that the interpretation of that language even became pertinent. So it wasn't discussed at all before. It wasn't raised before the commission. It wasn't an issue of the commission. So this is really uncharted territory for all of us, I guess.
And you haven't made that argument before us, I guess, in your briefs, that because what the commission did was to decide that it didn't have authority here.
It said it didn't have jurisdiction for two of the cases. It didn't. Referring to this.
I'm talking about your case and the other one, not the tie vote one.
Right. It wasn't referring to, again, I don't think they ever parsed this language at all in any way that I'm aware of. I would like to also mention, I may not have answered your questions, but there's another case pending now in the District of Connecticut involving another post office, Stamford, Connecticut, And it's the National Post Office Collaborate versus Patrick Donahoe, who's the Postmaster General, case 3:13 CV 1406. And last Thursday, the Justice Department filed an opposition, and that, talking about the reviewability under Section 410A, they said, even in spite of that, the Second Circuit has determined that NEPA applies to the Postal Service and that uses APA review. And it, they also said, the courts have routinely held that the arbitrary and capricious standard is applicable to judicial review of Postal Service's actions.
Is that a PRC case?
No, but the government in their brief was trying to use the analogy. They went on for a number of pages talking about the Section 410 and that whether or not there was a review, in, for example, Aid Association for Lutherans. They're using it as an analogy to this situation because there really is nothing to track here. So I'm just saying, even though they claim there was an APA review, there are a number of cases that say, in fact, there is APA review in the courts, despite the language of the statute.
Well, the Lutheran's case is not about APA review. It's about Leadham versus Kine review. It's about ultra-virus review. It's about pre-APA, a pre-APA standard where an agency has gone outside of
ultra-virus,
its
right.
jurisdiction. But here, if anything, your argument is that the agency has read its jurisdiction too narrowly, right? Not that it's read it too broadly, but that it's read it too narrowly.
Well, I think that my argument would be that it just failed to consider the statute and just decided on its own that it did not have jurisdiction. So
right,
it wasn't
a
question of
narrow. But it's not a case. So the Leadham and Kine cases are all cases where an agency has gone outside of its authority.
Well, I think here they went outside of their authority by saying they didn't have jurisdiction.
By saying it's not within its authority. Is that right?
Right. They took on the what they have done, at least on the case, the Pima case. The Venice case is slightly different. But the Pima case was plainly a closure under the statute and the regulations. And the PRC simply ignored the regulations. They don't even talk about the regulations. They just talk about their own previous orders, like Oceana, and say, as we said in Oceana, such and such. And so they are really acting on their own authority and not complying with the law. So I think they are outside the law. And similarly, when on the Springdale, West Virginia, when they and other cases, when they decided that a tie vote was an affirmance, that was not based on any rule or anything. They just came up with that in the spur of the moment when there were a lot of tie votes. So I think they are acting outside their authority in the sense that they're making judgments that aren't based in the law or regulation or procedure that's been previously agreed to. So, and it leaves in this situation, because a lot of these cases were, you know, I call them the mom and pop people of the world, filling out these little forms on back of the envelope type things, very unfamiliar with any kind of legal proceedings. And so when you're trying to seek remedy and then you get this kind of arbitrary result, it just leaves you very disillusioned. And certainly the Springdale people feel that way because they went through that whole process, and now in the middle of the Postal Service's efforts to close post offices, they just changed their whole plan, and now they're into something else where they're reducing hours. So the and they didn't rescind the previous final determinations. They just left all those hanging. So people like Springdale, they've had their hours reduced to 2 hours, but the final determination to close the post office still exists. They sent out a letter, you may have seen it, the Postal Service said it was effectively rescinded, but it wasn't actually rescinded. So again, that the whole process really needs judicial review because it is not being done according to any correct procedure, that are not according to the statute, not according to the regulations. In the Pima, the Postal Service had not filed a motion to dismiss based on jurisdiction, and that was never raised as an issue. The Postal Service followed the regulations for closing of a post office, which is what happened.
I was interested in your argument that you think that the agency is acting arbitrarily and capriciously when it decides that when it's evenly divided, that's an affirmance.
Right.
So, you know, we have the same rule. Are we acting?
Well, I think you had the rule. That's
no, we have the same rule for en banc if an en banc.
Correct. I'm the one that raised that to them. When I saw these tie votes, I said, well, how come you have a tie vote? And they compared themselves to a court of appeals. And I asked people on the Hill to please research this. No one could come up with any real authority about this issue at all.
So you think we're acting arbitrary?
No, I think you're a court of appeals. I don't think they are a court of appeals. They just assumed they were a court of appeals. And what I said to them was, well, if you are a court of appeals, if you are like a court of appeals, in my experience, the court of appeals would say, we affirm for the reasons stated below. They don't issue three and four opinions, two on one side, two on another side. And
sometimes we do.
Well, at least the Supreme Court, I think, I don't know.
They issue nine.
Right. But, I mean, if there's a tie vote.
Yeah.
So if you have two on one side and two on the other side, why does one...
If they issue eight, I guess.
Pardon me?
They would issue eight, I guess.
Okay.
Somebody would have to be recused.
Okay, at even number, one recused, right. So, but one side isn't more or less predominant over the other if you have two going one way, two going the other way. And I think they just, given the political scene that was going on, they wanted to rush as many of these things through, so they just called them an affirmance. So, again, it wasn't a process that was granted in any correct procedure at all. And
can I ask you a question about the Pimmett,
yes,
Pimmett one, which is your
sure
case? So did the question ever come up in before the PRC whether the circumstances should be treated as a consolidation rather than a closure?
No. They changed the definition. That's a good question. They changed the definition of consolidation, but there was never an issue about whether it was a closure or whether it was something else, because the Postal Service plainly called it a closure or discontinuance. Those two words are... A consolidation is in the same category as a closure for purposes of the regulations. The relocation is the other category. So... it was clearly a closure. It's closed. They closed it down. So that was never an issue. It was just something that the PRC came up with when they issued the order. There was never any briefing about that at all. And like I said, the Postal Service did not file a motion to dismiss based on lack of jurisdiction, as they did in some of the other cases, such as Venice, which was a relocation.
No, but I guess the statute says the determination of the Postal Service, to close or consolidate any post office may be appealed.
Right.
And the PRC concluded that it didn't have authority to hear the appeal because it wasn't a closure. And I guess, did the issue just never come up whether it did have the authority to hear it because it was a consolidation?
The consolidation really wasn't the issue. What they would say that you can't appeal is if it was a relocation, which is CFR 241.4. But this was done in 241.3, which is the procedure where they have to fill out the questionnaires and everything. So it was always that
always
was
a closure case.
Yes, it was
always
never. And as I said, I would have been prepared to respond to the argument if the Postal Service had filed a motion to dismiss based on saying it was a relocation, but they never did. They never claimed that. All their pleadings and everything call it a closure or discontinuance. And what happened was the PRC called it a relocation based on their own Oceana case from 1982, where they created this other term, rearrangement of facilities, which is not in the statute. And the other thing they've done is adopt some rule guideline, if you will, that how many post offices, if it's 2 miles away or 3 miles away or something. Again, that's not in the rule or anything else, but it's just such a closed environment in that agency with no judicial review that they just say, as we said in the last case, and no one's ever questioned them, it never occurred to them, but, hey, maybe that isn't really what the law says, that they don't even cite the regulations is astounding.
Further questions? We'll hear from the government. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Abby Wright on behalf of the Commission. I'd like to begin with the history of 404D, which was enacted as part of the 1976 amendments to the Postal Reorganization Act. As we cited in our brief, there was discussion of a proposed amendment at the time that would have allowed for judicial review of Postal Service decisions. Congress, in the conference report, expressly states that they've chosen instead to provide for Commission review. And that's precisely what Section 404D5 does. And there's not judicial review. There is, in fact, Commission review. And that's clear, I think, from the language that states that Chapter 7 of the APA doesn't apply to Commission decisions under 404D5.
Was there a review? Because one way to understand the statute is that it should apply to any review, and at least with respect to two of the three cases, the commission decided that it wasn't going to review.
Well, so petitioners came to the commission, and they said the Postal Service didn't follow 404D. And so the commission's first layer of review is, did the Postal Service have to follow 404D or not? And so in that sense, they are carrying out review under Section 404D5. And the language of Chapter 7 doesn't apply to any review carried out by the commission. It doesn't say, doesn't apply to a particular kind of decision of the commission or a remand or affirmance. It says any review. And so our position is that the commission does engage in review in the sense that petitioner comes in and says Postal Service didn't follow the five requirements under 404D5. The commission first looks to see whether the statute requires them to do so. And here, with respect to Pennant Hills and Venice, said no. So we would say that's review the commission undertook under 404D5, and so there is not judicial review of that either.
So if the PRC just develops some completely inscrutable, inexplicable rule as to what constitutes a closure or a consolidation, and they conclude that this case doesn't involve a closure or a consolidation based on our, by assumption, inscrutable, inexplicable rule, there's no judicial review of that.
There's no judicial review under the APA. That's correct, I think. I mean, there's no basis to think that the commission would do that. I think there's a recent 2012 case where they did remand to the post office had said, we're closing one facility, but we're going to move those services to another facility. And the commission said, look, you're moving it to, that's a South Valley case, you're moving it to a facility half the size that's not handicap accessible. You're actually cutting off retail services to the community. So they remanded. So we have no basis to think the commission would do something like that.
Now, when you say there's no judicial review under the APA, there might be judicial review elsewhere.
Well, I think,
on a non-statutory, are you talking about?
We were discussing, I think you were discussing with Council Middleman, the Aid Association for Lutheran line of cases in this court, the non-statutory review, which is a narrow review, and it's only for ultra-various actions. But I suppose one could imagine a case that might rise to that level. I don't think that's anything we have here. If anything, petitioners are saying that the commission has not completely exercised the authority they think they should. That's not an ultra-various type argument. I wanted to address the regulations as well.
We got past 404.
Okay.
So what's my next question on jurisdiction?
Do you want to talk 3663?
Yes.
So in
1970, whatever it was?
Six.
You got it. Now,
okay.
What happens when in the later statute it says the court shall review the order person, including the Postal Service, adversely affected or aggrieved by a final order decision of the Postal Regulatory Commission may institute proceedings in this court. The court shall review the order in accordance with Section 706.
That's right. So I think to understand what 3663 is doing, it's helpful to know a little bit about what the Postal Rate Commission used to do. In 2006, Postal Rate Commission becomes the Postal Regulatory Commission. So the Postal Rate Commission used to sit to make recommended decisions that the Board of Governors, which was Postal Service, would then accept or not. And so then your judicial review was from the Board of Governors. So when the Postal Regulatory Commission became the final word on rate issues and complaint issues, 3663 steps in there to say, okay, you can get review from the commission. I don't think it says anything about 404D5, which addresses a specific issue. We still have that specific statute. We still have that language in the statute. I don't think there's any basis to think that Congress, through 3663, was modifying silently what 404D5 had precluded all along.
But is there anything in the wording or in the legislative history which supports your not unreasonable thought that this is about rates and such, but not about closures?
I don't think there's anything specific. I will say that Congress also tinkered with 404D at the same time. So the PAEA in 2006 was a pretty massive overhaul of the regulatory structure overseeing the Postal Service. And so they moved some sections of 404D. They added a section to 404D. So it's not the case that Congress was somehow, you know, that 404D is vestigial and Congress forgot about it. We know Congress knew about it, so what we have is really a sort of RAD LAX situation. We have a specific statute that governs when we're talking about post office closures and consolidations versus a more general statute that I don't think we have any affirmative basis to think was trying to undo
When you say that Congress actually did affect 404, you mean they substituted Postal Regulatory Commission?
No, they added, so they added the very last 404D 6, I think, is where they add about when a filing is received by the commission. And then there was renumbering from 404B to 404D. I'm not saying they're major changes. I'm just saying that it was a comprehensive package.
And did they substitute the words Postal Regulatory Commission for something else in 5, for example, or?
Postal Rate Commission. That's
yes.
Right.
So you could say that, yes, they were thinking about it. And since they were thinking about it, maybe they meant to overrule it.
They were thinking about, sorry, 3663 is new. I thought you were asking about 445. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I am asking about 3663. You said at the same time that 3663 was added, they made changes to 404. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Including making it the Postal Regulatory. I thought you were asking, they made it the Postal Regulatory Commission
right.
that you have appealed to, not the Postal Rate Commission.
I understand
yeah.
that. But in all that discussion, there's no discussion in the legislative history about what happens to 404, whatever it is, D5.
I'm not aware of any discussion.
What's the relationship between 3663 and the APA?
So 3663 says Section 706 of the APA provides the standard of review, but then also cites the Hobbs Act provisions, which gives jurisdiction to this court. So this court has jurisdiction, and then it expressly states that the Section 706 standard applies.
So is it an APA action, or is it a 3663 action? Or
well, it would incorporate the APA standards, just as the Hobbs Act cases do as well. The Hobbs Act tells you, and 3663 tells you where to go and what form of proceedings there will be, and then the APA, as International Brotherhood of Teamsters said, provides the nature and attributes of judicial review. So it's kind of both.
3663, if we weren't talking about closure, provides jurisdiction and a cause of action. Is that right?
That's right.
And Ms. Middleman still needs 3663 for jurisdiction. There's no other provision with respect to jurisdiction in this court, right?
Assuming that it was a justiciable
yes.
question, yes, that's what she would need.
I have one other question, which is this question about consolidation. So let's mm-hmm. assume that we're past the judicial review hurdle. So it seems to me that the facts of this case, of the Pimmett case, sound like a consolidation to me.
So consolidation, and we cite this in our brief, and the Commission and the Postal Service have a long-standing understanding of consolidation refers to a managerial decision. So each post office in the technical sense, so DC has one post office, many stations and branches, and then there's one postmaster. So consolidation refers to the elimination of a postmaster position, and then other post offices, branches, and stations would be subsumed into that managerial structure. And so in 1976, Congress was concerned about elimination of postmaster positions, and that's what the language consolidate refers to. I understand in the colloquial sense you might think consolidate could refer to what happened here, but
you quote the JA, I'm not sure what, the Postal Service determination, and it describes the Pimmett branch determination as, quote, combining its operations with the proposed new retail facility for the main office and combining its operations. I mean, that just sounds like a consolidation to me.
I think in a non-technical sense, that's right, combining, merging, consolidate are words we kind of all use as synonyms. But in the technical sense, and no one has argued here otherwise, or challenged another point, that consolidation really means that elimination of the postmaster position. And in 1976, there were concerns from the unions that would eliminate managerial positions. There were concerns because postmasters had previously been political appointees and were no longer. So what was a fear that Postal Service would go about eliminating those positions and that sort of independent managerial structure. So that's what consolidate is understood to mean.
I just have one other unrelated question, which is mm-hmm. this, that you have a footnote in your brief where you say that the Postal Service's lease, I think this is about Pimmett 2, expired.
That's right. I did want to address the Springdale as well, the mootness issue there.
Right.
So with Springdale, our position is that it is moot. The Postal Service's letter has stated that the decision is rescinded, that if there were a new proposal to close or consolidate, they would begin the process all over again. They would begin with a notice. They would have a meeting. They would do everything that they would normally do. And so we don't think there's really any relief that this court could. I mean, we obviously think there's no judicial review, but assuming we get past that, then there's no relief. In terms of Pimmett Hills and the lease and Venice as well, those the buildings are gone. That's true. So the Postal Service no longer occupies the Pemet Hills facility, the building. We don't take the position that it is moot because, in theory, if you reject our argument that there's no judicial review and you send it back to the Postal Service, it's possible they would decide they need to open some kind of facility. So the argument with respect to a particular building is of course, moot, that the building is sold in Venice, the lease has expired in Pemet Hills. But in theory, we can imagine that the Postal Service might reconsider whether there should be some facility in Pemet Hills.
But if it's moot, we have to address that question, right? Because the judicial review question is not, it doesn't go to jurisdiction.
So the mootness is a jurisdictional issue. So the government's position is that Springdale is moot. So the petition should be dismissed on that basis, but that Pemet Hills and Venice are not, for the reason that if, you know, we lose and lose on both levels, and it goes back, then the Postal Service could consider whether there should be some kind of facility in that community, in that neighborhood, in Pemet Hills and in Venice.
The remedy could be some direction to reopen somewhere nearby. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yes. If there are no further questions, we ask that the petitions be dismissed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does Ms. Middleman have any time left? I'll give you another minute anyway. I just want to be clear, you don't think it's moot, right?
Right, I don't think it's moot. Thank you. In terms of consolidation, Judge Chinnarasan, I can supplement with the court the regulations because and I believe they changed the definition of consolidation, but it's consistent with what Ms. Wright told you. And I believe that even if it was a consolidation, that's still in the same category as closure. So that isn't really a distinguishing characteristic. And in fact, I think the way they phrased what happened to the Pima branch was pretty misleading. What happened was the main post office at 301 West Broad, the retail was moved to 800 West Broad, and that was in 2009, 2 years before the Pima. So the Pima was just kind of an ugly stepchild, if you will. They didn't really worry about that. So it wasn't like they had this global plan. They just had a very expensive lease at 800 West Broad, and I think they just thought, well, we'll just close Pima so we can pay for the other lease. So our little post office wasn't given proper consideration. And in terms of the legislative history, I discussed that in my brief at page 27 and 28, and there was a letter from Representative Sensenbrenner where he talks about provisions within the Committee on Jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction concerning appellate review of the Postal Regulatory Commission. And I think in terms of the language, again, since at least from my point of view, that is so difficult to understand that when they did pass this new law, again, I'm speculating, but it wasn't that it was obvious to them, oh, there wasn't a right of appeal before, and so we need to put in the words, we still don't want them to be able to appeal closing. I think they just made a jurisdictional thing saying you can appeal any final order of the Postal Regulatory Commission. I don't think they thought they were still having a carve-out for the closing. I just don't think that was even aware. I think it's just plain that you can appeal any order. I don't think that it would be hard to come up with a clearer language than that, so I don't think Congress needed to clarify that.
So you think they were repealing the previous provision then?
I don't think they realized that previous provision said you can't appeal. No one had ever tried to appeal, as far as I know. I think I'm the first person who tried to appeal because it just was a fluke that the Postal Service tried to close the post office that happened to have a lawyer that cared about it. So no one had given it any thought, I think. Thank you.